Okay, it's 4 o'clock. Let's call the meeting to order. We have a roll call, please.
Steele.
Here.
Wendt.
Here.
Couser.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Donaldson, absent.
Thanks. Do we have any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, it'll stand approved. How about changes and additions to the minutes of the February 4th meeting? All right, the minutes will stand approved, too. We have... Okay... It's moved down to item 6. Should we move that up? Okay. We do have a time for public comment on any matters not scheduled to be heard tonight before the Planning and Zoning Commission. Any comments? Any offerings?
You need to,
any
to change the agenda?
I think we're okay. All right. We have no public comments. Then we will start public hearing items. We have two in front of us tonight, two proposed text amendments to the zoning code. And we will start with the first one, Ordinance 01-15, regarding CWEX. And we will turn it over to the staff.
Yeah. No fancy presentation or anything, because this is just language we put together based off the lengthy discussion we had a couple of months ago regarding... this issue of decommissioning costs. You have language in front of you there that's provided to you. So I guess maybe we would just kind of open the discussion. What thoughts you have about it? What we tried to do is just kind of take the meat of some of the issues that came up during that discussion and then kind of formulate them into some language that may address those main issues. A lot was talked about. So
we are striking proposed to strike one session in paragraph N, add two subpoints.
Yep, correct.
And then a short strikeout in paragraph O.
Yep.
A short addition as well. Any questions for the staff?
I think we covered it all last time. Or 2 months ago, whenever it was. That was one of those that was not a short meeting.
Correct.
I think you guys did a good job of wording that.
You know, I think you know, one thing that came up in my mind during the discussion was, you know, the property owner's role in, you know, their ultimate responsibility, because ultimately it is their responsibility. So that was kind of the purpose of, you know, subsection one there, so that there is some assurance on the county's level that a conversation about this issue of decommissioning is taking place between the wind operator and the property owner as they're making their deals, as it were. And then, you know, in terms of subsection two that was added, you know, it seemed like most of, you know, the remedy for specific financial security revolved a lot around bonding. But we thought it was kind of important to leave a certain amount of flexibility in there for cases like FPLE, where they're, you know, a utility company and there's less likelihood of them dissolving throughout the life of the program, the CWEX. So one interesting thing that I found through my research afterwards, just some language that kind of addressed Mr. Wendt's concern about the variability regarding using the scrap in terms of using that as a means to reduce the amount of decommissioning financial security. Because, you know, cost of copper or whatnot varies so greatly, and we don't know what it'll be worth 20 years from now. So the language specifically put in there that that's scrap value is not to be used in putting up that financial security. So I think that's kind of the gist of it. The strikeout in letter N was, I think if we put, you know, subsection 1 and 2 in there, that last sentence in subsection, or section 1 kind of becomes redundant. If you know, the commission doesn't agree, we can certainly put it back in. And then looking at O, that was just done to kind of make the language consistent between the two sections.
Thanks. Any other comments or questions for the staff? If not, then we will open a public hearing on this at 4:06 p.m. Any members of the public here to comment on this proposed ordinance? Okay, then we will close the hearing 10 seconds later. And we would entertain a motion on a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors on this text amendment.
I'll make a motion that we pick alternative number one, that we recommend this amendment.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Couser and a second by Miller. Roll call vote, please.
Miller?
Yes.
Wendt?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Couser?
Yes.
Great. We will move on then to Ordinance 03-15, Casey's Code of Ordinance text amendment. And turn it over to the staff.
As you had mentioned, this is a code of ordinance amendment that, for the first time in a while, is not being brought forward by staff, but by an actual applicant, being Casey's General Store. A quick background on what we are dealing with here. We have been working with Casey's since approximately last April, maybe even a little bit before that, on their gas station convenience store at the Gilbert Corner, which is at the intersection of 170th Street and U.S. Highway 69, which is approximately a mile to the east of the city of Gilbert. Through this time, we've worked on Casey's has got a site out there where, and I'll let the applicant even speak to this a little bit more, but my understanding is Casey's uses roughly two or three different models of stores that they can place on a property. This particular parcel that they had was a little bit narrow to fit in their module into that. We worked through some proposed variances last year. Those variances were denied. Casey's now has bought some additional land to the rear of the store to kind of help meet those setbacks. However, we're still dealing with a front setback issue because of the gas canopy. As we mentioned in our report, in the commercial zoning district, we have a 50-foot front setback. We don't have any exceptions for gas station canopies, underground fuel tanks, et cetera, as the applicant is proposing. We looked at a lot of other jurisdictions regulations. I did ask some of my counterparts in the county planning and zoning officials organization how they deal with stuff like this. The two that kind of stood out in my opinion that were pretty local was Polk County. I think I outlined what they require. But again, in the commercial zoning district, I think their typical front setback is 50 feet, and they allow for gas station canopies to be 25 feet, 50% reduction in the front setback. City of Ames, pretty much the same thing. They are 20 feet for their commercial zoning district. And again, when you're dealing with cities, a lot of times you'll have less front setbacks. So that's not a unique thing by any means. Again, gas station canopies are reduced by 50% down to 10 feet for a front setback. So you can kind of see that consistent trend, I think, in some of our surrounding jurisdictions that I looked at that do accept that. Now, again, Story County does not accept that. We would require them to be at the 50-foot front setback under current regulations. So what Casey's is proposing, and I will read the amendment straight from what they have proposed, but this is adding a section to our exceptions and modifications. They put number 12, and I will remind the commission that last month I think we added a few exceptions and modifications based off the accessory building regulations that we looked at. So it's actually probably not going to be 12, but that's kind of irrelevant right now. The language that they are proposing would be that any pump, underground fuel storage tanks, and islands, including any canopy, shall be set back at least 20 feet from any street or lot line. Again, excuse me. Battling somewhat of a cold here. Story County's our staff's recommendation on this is, first of all, when you look at that 20 feet, that's a reduction by 60% based off our current front setback. Staff feels that the 25-foot setback might be more appropriate, just reducing that 50%, which our similar jurisdictions do. For example, the City of Ames, when you look at theirs, they actually measure that front setback from the edge of the canopy. We've kind of discussed this internally, and based off how our inspections go, we would probably actually measure it from the supports that come down to the ground instead of the edge of the canopy. So that's still going to allow, I mean, if we would do, for example, 20 feet from the edge of the canopy, you're still going to have that 25 feet probably to the support structures. So just going off consistency in our regulations and how we have done our inspections in the past, I think we're more comfortable with that 25-foot setback, as well as adding the language. And again, the language that we are proposing, pretty much similar to what they have, but I think, let me read it here. Our language, as we would recommend it, would read, any pump, underground fuel storage tanks, and islands, including any canopies, shall be set back at least 25 feet. We didn't put to the road our lot line, because if you look up setback in our definitions, we actually define what a setback is in our definition. So repeating that, it probably isn't necessary in our regulations. When we talk about setbacks for other structures, we don't ever mention where it's measured from. We always know where it's measured from. So, again, recommending that language just to maintain consistency throughout our ordinance. Other than that, we're not at the point where we're actually reviewing the individual site plan for this project yet. The commission wouldn't even review that. The zoning's in place on this property, so we're all set there. And, again, I just wanted to make the commission aware that really all we're looking at here is the actual code amendment. Casey's is asking for it for a very site-specific parcel, but again, this regulation change would apply to any similar use in the county, anywhere else in the commercial zoning district, not just this site that they're looking at. So if there are any questions.
I'm if you could help explain a little bit. So the, you know, I'm out in the country and we have the right-of-way also, and but my property is in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, so how does that fit in with the 20-foot setback, 25-foot or whatever, from the road or property line versus the right-of-way?
Yeah, and I'm not exactly
– lines and that kind of stuff. And
I'm not exactly sure how this one is on if the property line's actually to the center line or not. But, again, we always measure from the right-of-way line regardless of where that property line is. And that is defined in our setback definition.
From the property line?
Yeah, let me.
I think in this case, I believe in this, like in this case, for instance, the property line and the right-of-way line are one and the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
In your case, because it's U.S. DOT right-of-way.
But real quick, I'll read the. Setback means the required minimum distance between a building and the nearest lot, parcel, or track line, public easement, or right-of-way. The setback of the building for the front, rear, and side yard shall be in all cases measured at a right angle from the lot, parcel, or track line to the nearest point of adjacent wall or building. But again, we're measuring it to the nearest lot, parcel, or track line, public easement, or right-of-way. And we've always interpreted that to mean whichever one is the closest to the proposed structure. In most cases, that ends up being the right-of-way line. In some instances, the lot line and the right-of-way line are actually one and the same.
Well, I'm confused. There's already a Casey's there, right?
Yes.
Well, what are we doing?
They, and the applicant can speak to this as well, but I am somewhat aware, they are planning on actually tearing that Casey's down and building a more modern convenience store at that location, a much larger size one.
Okay.
What's the logic behind including underground storage tanks?
Yeah, and again, that's a good point, and I did point this out, I think, to the applicant, because the site plan that they are currently looking at doesn't show that the underground storage tanks are set back. That language, I think, is just the language that was proposed almost mimics exactly what Polk County has, and I think that might have been some of the reasoning behind putting that in there. However, I'm not sure it's necessary to add the underground storage tanks. Obviously, we want those, you know, not showing up in the right-of-way, but I think that's probably going to be the case no matter what. The site plan that we're currently – or the last site plan, I should say, that I have seen from Casey shows those underground storage tanks, I think, set back 15 feet from the property line. So that might be something necessary to take out. I don't know. I left it in there just because, from a staff standpoint, I think we're, you know – it really doesn't matter to us, but as the applicant was proposing to put that in there, we just left it in there.
Right. I mean, we have other standards in place that would prevent anything from being put in the right-of-way.
Exactly, yeah.
And then, so we would typically measure a setback to the main footprint of a structure, right? Mm-hmm. We define a structure as basically any roof supported by some structural element.
Mm-hmm.
So when we measure from the property line back to a house, for example, we don't measure it to the edge of the overhang. We measure it to the footprint of the structure.
To the foundation, yep.
So in some ways, this is just a really large overhang from the structural component of the of the structure.
And that's where I was saying, again, we would interpret it as measuring from the actual supports that hold it up, not from the edge of the roof.
Okay.
So is this new structure going to be closer to the road than the current one?
No.
No?
I don't believe so. Again, applicant question, but I believe that the current structure really doesn't meet setback. There's a long history to this. We looked at the history to this whole site when we did the variance, and I could go back and look at it again, but I don't believe any of it meets current code, but it would all be considered a legally established nonconforming use.
Why don't, it seems like we have questions for the applicant, so why don't we let the applicant have a chance to address the commission? If you wouldn't mind stepping up to the microphone and giving us your name and address, that would be great. We typically allow the applicant to present. Yep.
Why we're asking for this exception is because this is pretty standard of what we find out throughout the Midwest, that our canopies aren't held to a standard of what a building is, so that 50-foot setback, it doesn't function for a building station to have out of the way, and it really messed up our layout system. We tried many different ways to lay this out to make it work. Ended up having to go back to our seller, buying part of the storage facility behind us, a strip of 20-some feet, to make our rear setbacks fit because of the way the code is written for side yard setbacks. We're not given any relief. We're given rear yards from both. And we sit on a corner, so it came to the point where we either need to let this door sit here and churn until it's done and hope nothing bad happens. But we know that within 5 years, I got to bring those tanks up to code. And that's why we started looking at this site, because our tanks would be void. And at that point, that considers, I think my canopy has to come on and everything else, and then we'll be able to get a permit to put it back up, which would force us then at that point to close the store. So that is the purpose of our asking for this exception. We don't think it's unreasonable. our canopy will go from the back to that 25-foot setback, which would put the edge of it roughly at that 19 to 20-foot mark. So I think we're in good shape if you're willing to approve that exception.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Why don't we go ahead now and open the public hearing at 4:22. Don't see anyone here who would like to speak. So we will close the public hearing. Any other questions for staff? I would just like to clarify. So right now the way you interpret the code is that we would measure the setback from the property line or right-of-way line back to the first supporting structure, the first supporting component, the nearest one of the canopy. And so the 25 feet would be measured. They have to be at least 25 feet back with that first, the nearest supporting structure. Okay. Do you feel like the code is clear enough on that point that it won't be misinterpreted in the future and somebody will, you know, you guys aren't here anymore and somebody will try to measure to the edge of the canopy?
Yeah. Is that mentioned anywhere in the code? I'm trying to think. Yeah, and I'm assuming it's got to be in the code somewhere. I'm not 100% sure. I guess adding language to this section to clarify that might not be the worst idea in the world. If anything, it may end up being somewhat redundant if it is already in the code, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's a good point because, again, from staff standpoint, since I can recall, we've always measured to the nearest point of the foundation. And, again, in this, that would be the support structures. Who knows how that will be interpreted 20 years down the road, assuming that all of us are no longer here. Who knows? It might be something worth clarifying, but I guess I would, if you want to clarify that, I'd ask the commission maybe just massage some language to add to that.
It was a couple of years ago that we put up a building on my property, and I understood from the code that it didn't include the eaves on the building. So I knew that it was
And actually, the more stringent measurement by maybe 18 inches or so might be the nearest island or pump probably would stick out a little bit further than a supporting pillar. I'm just guessing.
Actually, our supporting pillars sit outside
at the corners. Okay.
Yeah. So those are
okay. You can envision some, however, that are more like an umbrella.
Correct.
Yeah. And they're centered on the islands.
Okay. In terms of actually procedurally, you know, currently when I go out for an inspection, I go out and I find the nearest thing that's going to be coming out of the ground and,
yeah.
and measure from there.
Okay.
And I want to say that it's in the foundation location inspection.
Well, if we approve this variance tonight, would it be possible that, for longevity purposes, that based upon your investigation, that you simply bring that to the commission at another month or so to as a permanent variance, permanent change to the code?
This is a proposed permanent change to the code.
Yeah.
This is not a variance request.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
This we have a chapter in our ordinance titled Exceptions and Modifications to the Ordinance. It's just a chapter that kind of refers back to other portions of the code. It says these certain things are exceptions to that, and this would be adding to that chapter.
Okay.
Real quick, and I was just reading through this to try to find it. So we... Our ordinance clarifies through the permitting process that you need to have a foundation location inspection. That is when we actually go out to verify the setbacks. That's pretty clear in our code. We do define foundation location inspection as meaning inspection of a structure's setbacks from the property lines after forms have been placed prior to the pouring of concrete or similar materials. So in a sense, I think that definition is kind of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because it doesn't come out and say that's where you measure it from, but it's pointing out that's the point that you do the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption off that should be you're measuring it obviously to that point.
Right. So. There's not going to be a canopy at that point to measure from, so you measure it to.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know, and if it was the if we were talking about the opposite, if we wanted it from the overhang, what we would need then is the site plan to show where the overhang ends and where the actual support structures would be. So the overhang would have to be shown setback 25 feet, and in this instance, it sounds like the structures would actually be about 30 or 31 feet. But again, based off past practices, we're not looking at doing it that way. So I think the clarification is there. However, again, from staff standpoint, or at least my standpoint, I'm not that concerned adding language with this exception to clarify that. I don't think that would hurt. But I'm also not sure it's necessary.
We're okay with the canopy edge actually coming right up to the property line.
In the instances where the edge would be 25 feet away from the support, yeah.
You could conceive of somebody coming up with some crazy cantilevered canopy that has the structure way on the interior of the property, but the canopy coming out to the edge.
That would be interesting. But, again, a house could do the same thing. So.
Frank Lloyd Wright would do it. Yeah.
But, again, that would be if he could design a house that would do the same thing. That's
sure.
how we would look at it. So it's conceivably the same situation. And if there ever is a point where we need to change that, we probably need to do it in a separate discussion, not in this one.
Yeah. Just a logistical matter, if the commission wanted to approve the recommend approval of the staff's language, can we in one fell swoop address the proposed amendment and accept your text? In other words, do we need to deny the applications based on the wording that was submitted and then make a recommendation based on your language, or is that assumed?
The way I had written the alternatives, alternative one was recommending approval of the language as put forth in case ORD 0315. That is the applicant's proposal. Alternative two was to recommend approval as recommended by staff. That's number two. Number three was to recommend denial. Number four was to delay decision. So, yeah, there isn't really anything that I – however, I'm comfortable, I think, from the commission maybe making a recommendation that would be like a fifth alternative,
right,
combining maybe the applicant and the staff's recommendation but modifying it to include
– I just want to make sure for the record that we've acted on the application rather than come up with our own recommended change.
I don't see where it would be necessary to deny the applicant's request. Again, in the case where an applicant may disagree with the change of their proposal, this is not the last step. This is just the recommending body to go to the board. The board would have to act on it then and take in all sides of the case. So.
Okay.
So I see the language that was submitted by the applicant in red. Is there, I'm not sure I see the similar language from the staff.
In the recommendation portion of the staff report.
Okay, so it's a much bigger section right here.
It's the last sentence.
Last sentence there.
And it is pretty much the same except the 25 feet and how we define where that comes from.
As we consider a motion, we may want to consider the elimination even in the staff's version of the underground fuel storage tanks. I could foresee that causing confusion in the future. Any other questions for staff? Do we have a motion?
So what are you suggesting, that there be, that we approve this one, then provide the clarification later on?
Well, there's option two, right, which is
staff's.
But what we've probably propose is a separate, so the approval of recommended language as amended by staff to change the distance from 20 to 20 feet to 25 feet, and then the setback distance, and then to exclude the language around the tank setback.
And again, the alternatives that we lay out here are more of a suggestion. The commission's more than welcome to come up with their own alternatives. So if you want to do it.
Right. So a motion might be to recommend approval of the staff's recommended language
striking
underground fuel storage tanks.
I'll make that motion that we approve the staff's recommendation number two with the change of striking underground fuel storage tanks.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Wendt, a second by Couser. Roll call vote, please.
Wendt?
Aye.
Steele?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Couser?
Yes.
Miller?
Great. Thank you. I might just add that I'm really glad that you went to the trouble to propose a text amendment to the ordinance rather than pursue a variance on this. And I'm sure staff had something to do with that, too. That's the right way to do it.
Exactly.
When you see something that's wrong with the code, appreciate it.
And as I had mentioned, we've been working on this since April of 2015, so there's been a lot of steps to this, and I think that this is probably the last little step we need to take until we actually go forward with the project, if I'm right. So,
good.
Just curious, when is this construction going to be
completed?
Will you build and then tear down the other one, or will you close the other one?
And if you want to get further into it, the plan is the old Suburban restaurant that's out there, and then there's a strip kind of mall, strip office building space. Those two buildings are going to be removed as part of this, so it's going to include that whole site right there. We also have to work out some addressing issues. And I think there's about six addresses on that site that we're going to have to come down at some point and figure out which one address we want to stick with and go forward. So there's a lot of things that we'll have to do from the administrative standpoint to get this working through, but...
Which property line is going to be considered the front on that?
The highway.
Parcel. The highway, 69.
Okay. Side corner on 170th, and then rear and side on the other two.
Great.
I hope when you come meet with them, that you either bring them donuts at the morning or something.
You can't.
Oh, yeah.
What if they're day old?
To share them with everyone.
Day-old donuts.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. We already did public comments, so we are on to comments from the staff. Did you have a bet on this? Did you have a bet on when we'd wrap this
up? Long story. We'll explain it later. I just want to go through a few things. First of all, coming off the recommendation from last month on the accessory building regulations, we have hit second consideration last Tuesday on that. We are having third and final consideration next Tuesday. Typically, we will only cycle it through two considerations, third consideration if something has changed during the process. So, you know, where I'm getting at is something did change from your recommendation. More or less, what came out was on the poultry regulations, the urban chickens, as we called them at the time, the board, not that they didn't want to have this type of use taking place, but they did not include that in the overall approval of it. Reason being was our animal control ordinance, they felt, controls that use right now. So they weren't sure that it was necessary to add that in there. They did ask us to, at some point, come back to the commission and kind of relook at this issue just as its own issue as opposed to part of that package, and see if we're still comfortable going forward with the same recommendation. So at some point in the future here, we're going to do that. We'll probably bring in our animal control department a little bit more. I did discuss with Sue McCaskey a little bit prior to drafting that regulation, but I'm going to work with her a little bit more in depth, I think, before we come forward to your whatever meeting we bring in at. But again, that will be coming forward again at some point in the future to just look at a little bit further. Any questions on that? I believe last month we also did talk about the requiring of a signed subdivision plat. I think we have kind of run this through our interagency review team a few times now to get to a point where we're ready to bring forward some changes in our regulations. In the interim, more or less what we're planning on doing is requiring all the signed legal documents ahead of time. We need to add that probably to our regulations and our submittal requirements. However, in the interim, there is a submittal requirement that does state any additional information as required by the director. So in the interim, before we have the regulation in there, I'm going to require those. But we've had a lot of problems with the recording of subdivisions lately, inconsistent legal descriptions, confusion from the public on exactly what they need to record. There's I think the thought process that is very prevalent is that all I need to do is take my plat and my resolution, have it recorded, and we're done. And obviously state code does not allow that. There's a lot more stuff that needs to take place. So in the past, we kind of shied away from requiring all those legal documents because we wanted to put more of the responsibility on the applicant to do that, but that just frankly is not working out. So the county is going to take a little bit more responsibility in holding on to these documents, getting them to the right place. Once the subdivision is approved, our staff will work through getting those legal documents, coming upstairs, grabbing the resolution, getting everything together, taking it down to the recorder. The recorder will hold on to them until the person comes and pays for the recording of the documents. So I think we have this ironed out. We're going to have to put it to use a few times before we know that we have it ironed out, but we're headed in the right direction, I think.
Are plats not required to be signed in the submittal requirements right now?
No.
Not even finals?
No. I don't think we have anything that says they signed. I'd have to look at it, but what happened, and at one point it may have been we started requiring, there was some point where we went away from requiring original documents to copies of documents, and we did that for a few years, and then we started toying with the fact that why did we want a copy of something when it's quite easy for the applicant or attorney to change that and then record something different. So instead of going back to requiring originals, we decided to just do away with requiring anything. Realistically, we probably should have gone back to just requiring the originals, and that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
So it's just kind of how it evolved. Yes, the originals will have to be signed on everything.
All will be signed.
So, well, I think it'll work out much better. It's going to take a little bit more work from our standpoint, but I would argue that the amount of work it's going to take us to do this is going to make up for all the work on the back end that we've been doing on the misrecorded and errors in legal descriptions that we've had to deal with over the past couple of years.
Well, I think not only that, it may actually speed the process, because by the time you get the documents, it's not going to be having to go back and forth and get everything.
Yeah.
It needs to be done and finalized. It's not it's not going to be like we've seen where somebody applies in November of 2013 and then there's this application hanging out there for a year or a year and a half while they're doing whatever, and then they come back, you know. If they want it, they apply. It's everything is completed and signed and finished, and you know, turn in your homework on time, and then it'll either be approved or not, right? I mean, I think it'll make that cycle shorter by requiring more work done by the applicant on the front end.
And that's, you know, and again, that was kind of the thought process before was you need, I think, about 6 different legal documents, and we wanted them to think of it as this is one of the 6 that you need. Now, depending on when you want to go and get that from, the resolution from us is up to you, but it's 1 of 6 documents you need. So now we're going to be saying you need to have all these documents ready before we give you the final resolution. Just a change of mentality, but it'll be probably for the positive.
Well, I think it makes sense because I think our concern was, you know, hey, we're approving something, but it may not actually be what it ends up being, right? I mean, we're kind of approving the concept, but it could change and morph through the process after we get it approved.
Yep. So.
For longevity purposes, if we're talking about, I would suggest that you add to your procedure manual, not an amendment, but your procedure manual of the steps that are taken, you know, upstairs and downstairs and all that, that so that, God forbid, you get hit by a truck, the next person has that procedure to follow.
Yeah. And it should be outlined, yeah. We probably do need to do something. We'll take care of that.
Yeah. It's not something that we would have to work.
Yeah.
It's not something we would have to look at and approve, but it's for your internal use for moving forward.
You've got hit by a truck procedures?
That's great. All these bad omens tonight.
If we get Ebola, someone can come in and fill our position.
That's the only reason for a procedure manual anyway, is in case you get hit by a truck.
Right. Do you have any other comments?
Yes, I do. Any other questions on that before I move on? The decommissioning that you reviewed tonight, if you'll recall, our discussion back in January really focused mainly on the wind turbines, but we did mention that we need to look at how we're requiring the financial security for subdivision improvements. We also talked about maybe looking at cell towers and requiring some sort of decommissioning in there. I just wanted to let the commission know that we haven't left that one for dead yet. We're still going to look at that. It was just this package that we brought forward tonight was mainly just focusing on the wind turbines that we felt needed to be fixed sooner rather than later. We did kind of talk about this here earlier before the meeting, but Dave Struthers did resign last month. We're looking at filling that vacancy. I talked to the board this afternoon. I think we have 3 or 4 applications in so far for that, so hopefully we'll get that filled here by next month. My request was to have it filled here sooner rather than later and have that position ready to go for next month, because I will jump to my next point, and that is, and Aaron, feel free to jump in on this, but our comprehensive plan that we talked about, I think, last month and how we were updating that, we have kind of started the process of getting that going. It is called the C2C project. We have a project team, which includes Aaron and myself, were on that, and then a few other people from the county and the DOT were also on that. We looked through the proposals that we received. We received 5 proposals altogether. We broke them down. We brought 3 of those 5 proposals in for interviews, and we then selected 1 firm. The Board of Supervisors did accept the project team's recommendation on that firm yesterday, and we're going to now start working with the firm to lay out this project. We had some discussions with our conservation department this morning. Our hope is to have possibly a joint meeting with the Conservation Board and the Planning and Zoning Commission next month, as well as the consultant, to start kind of introductions and where we're going to go, because the commission is going to play a huge role in this project, but just outline all that as well. So next month, depending on how that gets ironed out, we're going to have to talk with everybody, but next month, We're probably going to have a meeting. It might be a joint meeting with the Conservation Board. If that doesn't work out, we may have a special meeting. We'll obviously talk to everybody about that before we do have that special meeting and pick out a day that works. But just be prepared because this is coming down the pike. Any questions on that, Aaron? Anything you want to add? Because thank you for your time. You've been very involved in this so far. So,
the name of the firm?
MSA Professionals. MSA, yes, out of Ankeny.
Confluence as a subcontractor.
And there was one other subcontractor, and I can't, the name escapes me right now, but they were economic development driven. To help
workshop?
Yeah, that was it. Yes. So my opinion is they're going to be very good at this project. We were really impressed with the presentation they gave us and felt that they fit exactly what we were looking for. So hopefully this all works out, and it should be a fun project for everybody to work on.
I might just 30 seconds. Just that this is what we're supposed to do. We're as a planning commission, we're not supposed to just be considering rezonings every other month or a subdivision proposal. This is the planning part of planning, and so we should be excited about being involved in this comprehensive plan update. And there will be public input sessions all over the county in different formats, and I think it's important for us to try to attend some of those so that we don't just rely on the consultant to bring us back a summary of the public comments, but we have some feel for what the public actually wants to see regarding development and land use, and actually a much more comprehensive scope of planning than we have done in the past. So,
this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, we have many components of a comprehensive plan out here, but this is going to focus on the ones we don't have and then putting them all under one umbrella as opposed to multiple umbrellas. So.
How will we know about the schedule, when these meetings are, and where, so that they...
The consultant has proposed a time frame as of right now. We're probably not going to have too many meetings that the commission doesn't have from now until the end of this project, I would imagine, just because, again, the commission is going to be involved. I will keep you abreast on everything as long as we go about this. If there isn't a meeting, there will be email updates constantly. You'll be informed of it. Any sort of public hearing, or I shouldn't say public hearing, but public meetings that we have, there's going to be some level of advertisement, email blast that we'll have. The commission will be involved in all that. So,
the consultant, just on a day-to-day basis, will be working very closely with the staff.
Yes.
Right. And then the Planning Commission will get updates along the way as to how things are going. So that the first time we deal with it won't be when they have a draft done.
Okay.
I know this consultant in particular thought it important that we be involved all along the way.
And that was one of the things I personally liked about this consultant was their level of involvement from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And they came out and expressed that much. So that was really good. A lot of these questions, I think, will be answered next month as long if we have this joint meeting, because that's what that meeting is going to be about. So,
in the agreement, providing the contract, is there a time frame?
We don't have a contract with them signed yet. We're going to be working on that through the next 3 weeks here. But there will be. Yes, there will be time frames built into it. We've got $70,000 that we're putting towards this project, 35 out of this fiscal year, 35 out of next fiscal year. So there's going to be some. We're going to have to wrangle exactly how we do that since this fiscal year ends in July and the project's going to last through this year and through most of next year. So it'll be challenging, but that's Leanne's new job, is to take care of those challenges. So she'll be handling a lot of that, but we'll work pretty close with her on it.
The consultant's proposal envisioned having this done in a year or less, as I recall.
No, it was about a year and a half.
Year and a half,
I believe. I should have brought it up with me. I apologize, but
that's not a contract time frame yet.
When we put the RFP together, we focused on a time frame of, my gosh, and don't quote me on this, but I thought it was 15 to 18 months, and we talked about extending it, but our rationale for keeping it at that was that we knew along the line there was going to be delays somewhere. We're just going to take those as they come and go. I mean, it's a very conservative time frame, but I think we're also realistic in knowing that it might not necessarily meet that time frame, but if it does, hey, great. Any other questions on that? Hopefully everybody is excited.
Has the preliminary contract been available for viewing?
I don't believe so, no. I think we have an idea of what we want it to look like, but we have not filled in any of the components of it yet. But we are meeting with the consultant tomorrow, so hopefully by then we'll start getting something going. It's going to be, our goal is to have this approved by the Board of Supervisors on March 24th. So if you're notified of that, those agendas, it'll be on that agenda prior, or the notification that comes out prior to that agenda.
As someone who spent a lot of years in consulting, there are a few safeguards that need to be built in. That's why I asked if it's available for you.
Yeah, it will be. And if there's any of those that you want to email me prior to, and we'll make sure that they're in there. Because, yeah, any, I know, again, our attorney's office is pretty familiar with working on these, and I think Leanne's got a good idea of how she wants the contract to look like. But
I know one of them that worked in the last couple of years.
Sure. Yeah, I don't want to get into it. But anyways, yeah, if you want to email those to me, I'll make sure that they're put in there. I would appreciate that. Lastly, I know I've emailed the commission about the training through Iowa State Extension that we have. Any interest in that, please let me know. I'm going to put out one email reminder at some point this week. That'll be kind of the final call. Then we'll register everybody. So if there's any interest in that, please let me know. And I will now...
I am interested. I just need to...
What's that?
I am interested. I just want to see if you send out that reminder with the schedule, then I'll...
Okay. Did you get the one I sent out after the last meeting?
Probably.
Okay. Just make sure that we're not bouncing emails anywhere. Yeah, so. Okay, I'll stop talking.
All right.
Thank you.
Commission comments? Thanks, Charlie. Nothing?
No, I just make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Do we have a comment? Do we have a second? Well, let me make sure. Everybody have an opportunity to offer any comments to that?
No comment.
Something on my mind. Okay. All right. Do we have a second to adjourn?
I'll second that.
We stand adjourned.